I teach preaching classes, and we have to videotape preachers, and I'm certainly recording myself. And there's one thing, it's always funny, the things you notice when you get to see certain preachers, you know, in quick succession, the unusual things that they do, whether it's a certain hand gesture or a certain thing that they say or a certain sound that they make. And as I do these recordings, I find that I do certain things every time. It's always at the beginning of recording it. And I say, all right. And now I've become a little bit self-conscious about it, but it's all right. Thank you, Rusty. I appreciate that. We are in this Advent series, God with Us, Emmanuel. We're walking through the themes of Advent. We've talked about hope. We've talked about love. We will talk about peace. But this morning, we're going to talk about joy. And this candle here, the pink candle, which is referred to as Gaudet Sunday, which is from the Latin joy. I'm gonna talk about that a little bit, so I don't want to steal my thunder. But joy is the theme of this Sunday, and it's the emotion most clearly associated with Christmas, the excitement of the decorations, the gatherings, being with people, presents. Certainly these are things that we get excited about, happy about, joyous about. But I would also say that this idea of joy to the world, you should be feeling joy, is one of the things that can make Christmas very difficult for people. The expectation that you should be happy at all moments during the Christmas season. It's hard because of hurts and because of disappointments or grief or loss. And so some of us might ask, okay, joy to the world, is that joy just for some people? And not for me, maybe not this Christmas. And I would say no. The joy of Christmas is for all people. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to see this first pronouncement of joy to the world with the angels from Luke chapter 2. So if you would just listen as I read from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Would you pray with me? Father, as we look at this passage, as we think about it, and as we think about this idea of joy, would you, by your Spirit, give us understanding not only to this passage, its meaning, where it comes in the redemption story, but its application to us. Father, would you reveal to us what reason there is to be joyous this Christmas? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read that, just a part of that verse 10 again. News of great joy that will be for all the people. Joy. It may seem like an obvious thing or a rudimentary question, but what is it? What is joy? If we break down, you know, the word by its definition, it just simply means a source of pleasure and happiness. I'll break down the etymology. It's from the old French joie, which means pleasure, delight, bliss, joyfulness. You know, maybe you've heard that expression, joie de vivre, you know, the joy of life. And it gets its derivation from the Latin, gaudia, the hard G in Latin gave way to a soft G. G became a J, J, joie. But gaudia is the Latin word for the expression of pleasure, of delight, inward joy, gladness, delight. And that's where we get the name for this Sunday in the liturgical calendar, Gaudet Sunday, the Sunday of joy. And that's why the candle's different. I say it's pink, but I was told recently by Pope Francis that it's actually rose. It's not pink, it's rose. We're supposed to be joyful, joy to the world. But we live in a world that seems to be somewhat empty of joy. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't feel joyous this Christmas. I don't feel joy. And the exhortations to be joyful seem harsh, maybe even cruel at times. What reason do we have to be joyful? Well, we see it right here in the announcement of the angels. There is good news of great joy. Okay, good news. What is that good news? The pandemic is over. I just won the lottery. What's the news that's going to fuel our joy? That's what we're going to look at this morning. What fuels our joy? Well, we find the big answer in the birth of the Christ child himself and understanding who he is and what that birth means. But there are some wonderful things that sort of ramp up to that. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you're feeling kind of down in the dumps and despairing, and there's this great noise, and it seems not to touch your heart because it's just too far of a leap to go from being where you are to like, oh, I guess I'll be happy about that tomorrow. You know, you just need some time to ramp up. And we have some of that here. Reasons to ramp up to the really big reason to be joyful. There are some wonderful, joyful things that ramp up to this great news. And it begins with the spectacle in the sky. And in this verse 8, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Because what is happening here? The sky doesn't get, not like on Friday night, growing dark, and then we hear that awful train noise and all that roaring. This is the opposite, but it's so unusual, it does inspire a little bit of fear. Now, some of our joy, though, can be found in the amazing things that we see. God sends angels. Totally out of the ordinary, an amazing sight. Now, the sight itself doesn't change anybody's life, but it does get our attention. It opens us up to the possibility of something more to our current experience, possibilities that are both exciting and maybe a little scary, because change is always scary. Now, the example that I have here of things that open us up to joy may be a bit trivial in comparison to what we're talking about compared to a vision of angels, but it struck me as somewhat similar to what the shepherds must have felt. So I'm going to show you this brief video clip, but to preface it, I want to I give you a definition. Maybe some of you have heard of the Turing test, right? Some of you, so the Turing test, if you have never heard of it, one definition is a method of inquiry in artificial intelligence for determining whether or not a computer is capable of thinking like a human being. A computer can be said to possess artificial intelligence if it can mimic human responses under specific conditions. So I'm going to show you this video that my son showed me a while ago. And it's both amazing and scary. Okay, I gotta find the right place for it now.
Ever again. So let's say I want to get a haircut next Monday at around noon. And this is at a place that doesn't do online reservations, so you have to call in to make your reservation. And you're not really into that. So what you want to do is ask Google Assistant, hey Assistant, make an appointment for my haircut next Monday around noon. And it will actually call that hair salon, pretend to be a human, talk to the person that picks up, and get you a reservation for that hair appointment at around noon. This is what it sounds like.
How can I help you? Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd. Sure, give me 1 second. Mm-hmm. for? What time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's your first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great.
Thanks. Great. Have a great day. Bye.
That was actually amazing. Did Google Assistant just pass the Turing test?
So I don't know. How did that make you feel that you know the computer can do that? Kind of creepy. I mean, it was pretty amazing. And it was also a little unnerving. You know, the ums. Now, again, I think this is somewhat trivial in comparison to this announcement of the angels. But I think what's similar about it is this, is that we see something amazing. And it opens us up in a way that's both exciting and a little creepy. A little bit unnerving. And it can open us up to the possibilities. Again, Google Assistant setting up an appointment for me is not going to change my life, right? But it does open me up to the possibilities. The angels coming and telling the shepherds, hey, something amazing has happened. The vision itself doesn't change their lives. But it opens them up to the possibility that maybe something will. And we need some of that. We need something to open ourselves up. Can you see the spectacle, the amazing things in life all around you that might open you up to the possibilities? Maybe it is, you know, the development of a new vaccine. That sort of certainly opened us up to the possibilities, although in one sense it hasn't been quite what we had hoped for. Maybe a new treatment for an incurable disease. Maybe it's just the sunset out the dining room window. I work at Aberdeen, and they designed that building in such a way there's this dining room has these huge windows, and it looks out on the west on purpose, and it has the most amazing views of the sunset. Maybe it's just the kindness of a friend who brings you a cup of coffee unexpectedly at work, or the spark of a new friendship, the possibilities of a new companionship. Do those developments solve our deepest needs? No. But the wonder of what God can do opens us up to the possibilities. And in the possibilities, we can start to find joy again. Maybe there is joy. There is news of great joy for all people. Okay, what is it? Tell me. And we hear there's the birth of a baby. Verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, a baby being born, not really an earth-shattering event. It happens every day. And yet, with every new life comes new hope, new possibilities. We shouldn't be so quick to dismiss the plentiful as insignificant. If there was a basket full of diamonds given to you, would the fact that they're so plentiful diminish the beauty of any one of them? Absolutely not. A child is born, and with that new life, there is wonder, there's new hope, an overwhelming sense of gratitude for this new life, being overcome with the generosity of God. Again, I'm not talking necessarily about the birth of the Savior himself. We'll talk about that in a moment. But just the fact that there is a baby, man, there's something about it that opens us up. I remember the birth of all my children. I'm going to embarrass all of my kids right now. I remember the tension of not knowing if Eli was a boy or a girl. I was really frustrated with that. All my friends got to know. I didn't get to know. I wanted to know. And then I was there in the room, and I remember the doctor calling out, "It's a boy." And my legs almost gave way of seeing the girls for the first time. First Haley, and then Olivia. Cutting the cord when Zach was born. And then to see them now. Their personalities, their passions, their hard work. And I think to myself, I really do, guys, how did I get to be the father of such wonderful people? It's too much. And the wonder of it all opens us up to joy and recognizing the generosity of God. It just brings that joy deeper. God, you're too good. It's not as if there aren't hard things in life, but seeing the good things that we have helps us to move beyond those griefs and to experience joy. But there's something more to this particular expression of God's generosity, the giving of this child, something that's not just joyous for this family, but for all people. And so the shepherds rushed off to see the gift. Verse 16, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And what did they see there? Well, they see exactly what you would expect them to see, a new mother with her baby. But the shepherds had heard the proclamation over this child, so they came with somewhat different expectations. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then there is this host, multitude of angels in the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Among those with whom he is pleased. That's quite a pronouncement. He is a Savior. This child, this baby, this infant, this helpless creature is the Savior. Savior from what? From what does he save us? Is it talking about the corruption of current political leaders? Is it talking about the oppression of the Roman Empire? Well, this Savior is going to deliver us from sin and death, the real enemies. I think I've talked about that before. The real enemies in my life is death itself and the judgment that I might face. And hence, he also carries the name Christ. Now, where does that name come from? Some people think it's Jesus' last name. You know, I had an uncle, and I don't want to be too profane. I'm trying to be profane here, but I always think this is kind of funny, that he would always say, Jesus H. Christ. And I thought, you know, for a while, I thought Jesus' middle name was beginning with an H. You know, and the last name was Christ. That's not what's being said here. It's a title, and Christ comes from the Greek word krio, which means to anoint. So Jesus is the anointed one, which is just the Greek word for the Hebrew title Messiah, the one anointed by God to deliver. And there is joy in the wonder, joy in the generosity of God, but then there's the joy in the deliverance that the Messiah is going to bring. Have you ever been delivered from something? Think of the joy that you feel there. Maybe think of the joy of hearing that the insurance company is going to pay after your house got flooded. It happened in my house. We had a sewer backed up into the basement, and I was very upset, but the insurance company paid. All right, good. Or you have a big test, a medical test. You don't know what the answers are, and you hear, you're healthy. Deliverance. Or better yet, you've had a disease, you've had cancer, and you've gone through the treatment, and you get the final evaluation. The doctor says, cancer free. I think those are some reasons to be joyful and to be happy. Deliverance. Delivered from danger, even a sentence of death. There's a profound kind of joy to that good news. And if the birth of this baby is only going to deliver me from my mortgage, I'm going to be happy, okay? Or some deadly disease, I would be joyful in that deliverance. But this child will deliver me from judgment and from death itself. He will deliver me even from the grief of the losses of this life. Not just my death, but the death of my father. The death of my brother. He will undo all the grief we have in this life, all the grief you experience. And we ask the question, when bad things are going on, where is God? God, where are you in this time of loss? You just seem to be nowhere. You seem to be completely absent. We think if he were here, we wouldn't be experiencing this pain. But here's the thing. It's because of the pain that we experience that he came in the first place to undo the hurts. I still may have the dread of experiencing grief, like the dread of a root canal, but on the other side of a root canal, I know that I will be restored. And so the only thing that I really have to fear in that is that I will feel very uncomfortable. I will not like the experience, but I don't have to like the experience. I just know on the other side is redemption. All things are going to be put right, and that is that joy may express itself in some sort of excited expression, but it's also a deep and moving thing, a satisfaction that we can have, a peace that we can have even in grief. Yes, this is hard, but this is not forever. And if we thought God was awesome before, wow. God turns even the hard things in our life to gold. The deliverance of God is a joyful and glorious thing. Glory to God in the highest. But we've also got to consider another thing that can fuel our joy. It's something not covered explicitly in this passage, but implicit. You know, we know the story. Christ will deliver us from pain and from judgment and death. How will he do that? Through his own death. Through his own suffering. The joy of this life is tempered by the certainty of his sacrifice. You may not want to listen to this story. There's a man named John Robert Fox. He was an artillery officer fighting in Italy in December of 1944. The Americans were fighting towards the end of the war, trying to recapture Italy. And the Nazis were overrunning the Americans in this Italian small town. And the Americans were in retreat. And Fox was asked to stay behind to call in artillery fire to delay the advance of the German army. But enemy forces were advancing so fast that Fox soon found that the building he was hiding out in were surrounded by the German army. So he called down artillery fire on his own spot. And the gunner pointed this out, saying, "You know what? Hey, that's where you are. You made a mistake. There's a digit off. There's something." He goes, "No, fire. There's more of them than there is of us. Fire." And it worked. The Germans were delayed enough for the Americans to regroup and to counterattack, and they won back the town. And when they were going through the rubble of that town, they found Fox's body, surrounded by over 100 German personnel. His sacrifice brought down the enemy and saved many lives. God's incarnation in humble circumstance is a cause for wonder. Whoa, why would he do that? It's a cause for gratitude for his generosity, of giving of himself, for praise that he's going to deliver us from sin, death, judgment, and then for worship because of the sacrifice that he made for us. And worship is an expression of the deepest kind of joy, a bliss tempered with awe. And this salvation comes from the Jewish people, but it is given to all people all over the world. A joyous thing indeed. So, what fuels our joy this Christmas? It can be our wonder of God and the simple things. It could be at the generosity of God, again, in simple, ordinary things. But ultimately, it's in the deliverance of God and the sacrifice of God. In other words, we could just say that what fuels our joy is God himself and his love for us. That is the gift God gives us at that first Christmas, himself. God with us, Emmanuel. Reason for joy, indeed. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this reminder of your of yourself, of the gift you've given us, you. And we pray that this Christmas, whatever we're experiencing, and it sounds like, Lord, as we've gone through our prayer time, that we are experiencing lots of challenging and perplexing and hard things. Help us not to ignore the reality of loss and disappointment and challenge and anxiety, but to see that even in the midst of it, your deliverance is certain. And as we go through those things, we can still know hope and love, peace, and yes, even joy. Work that in us, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.